Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30, Christ's work to make exceptions to God's calling, to respond to faith. We learn in our first lesson in the series that Mark's gospel presents the perfect service of God's perfect servant Jesus, with Mark's focus of having rebounded unto upright service from personal failure. In Mark's case, he had abandoned Paul and Barnabas at Pamphylia, possibly due to an extra hardship, not considering the desperate spiritual needs of people in the territory. Mark's problem may have been his objection to Paul's new emphasis on reaching Gentiles over Jews. Remember, John Mark was a native of Jerusalem, and his mother had that large home in which the Christians had met for prayer in order to see that Peter was released from prison and so forth. So he was someone who was from a Jewish heritage, and to reach out to Gentiles was a tremendous stretch. Because think of it, Jews, especially living in Palestine, they just did not have contact with Gentiles. That was something that was almost a taboo, something that was forbidden. So this is a stretch. However, Jesus exemplified just the opposite tendency in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30, making a gracious exception to God's initial calling in response to faith from a very needy Gentile. And review that passage for our instruction. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and wished or wanted that no man would know it, but he could not be hidden. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not fit or fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the demon is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the demon had gone out, and her daughter was lying upon the bed. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 in the context, tells how Jesus had left the area of Capernaum for an area well removed from heavy Jewish populations for the sake of a long overdue, much needed privacy. He had tried to get the disciples apart for rest from their outreach to Israel back in Mark chapter 6, verses 31 to 32, only to be interrupted with the feeding of the 5,000, Mark 6, 33 to 44. And in Mark 6, 45, when he had sent the disciples across the sea to escape the 5,000 crowds, the crowds there had met him on the other side. So it seemed that wherever Jesus went, he couldn't get away from the crowds. Well, eventually he was going to have to get away from them because he had some personal discipling that he wanted to do with the disciples. And if you're going to do some in-depth discipling with people, you have to get away from the crowds. You have to get with just the disciples themselves. So Jesus had gone far north, away from the heavy Jewish populations in Galilee, up to the region around Tyre and Sidon. He had entered a house with his disciples, wanting his presence there to be kept a secret. And one of the reasons he wanted this privacy was to instruct his disciples in secret for their growth. We get this from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. However, his presence could not be hid. And a woman whose young daughter was demon-possessed heard that Jesus was there. So she came, she entered the house, she fell at his feet to beg for his help. Now I just stop and think about this one, I'm sure that she would have known that Jesus was trying to get away from the crowds because he was in a very unusual area. Some think that he was actually in Gentile territory outside of the realm where he normally would minister. But she would be aware of it. But think of it, this is a mother. She is desperate. She has a daughter who is demon-possessed. Any mother in her right mind would do anything she could to get that situation solved. And so she is going the extra mile. She's coming to Jesus. She knows that she's probably wearing thin her welcome, maybe overextending her welcome, but she comes and she falls at the feet of Jesus. She begs him to cast this demon out of her daughter. So this is a desperate woman. she might be a Gentile. What's interesting is that Mark's gospel stressed the woman's non-Jewish identity. She was a Greek, not from Greece, but she was a Gentile by culture and religion. And she was a Syrophoenician who was born in Phoenicia, part of the province of Syria. And I mean, she was a Gentile of the Gentiles. She's a woman who's just as far removed from the Commonwealth of Israel as you can imagine. Now, this is an interesting situation that Jesus is faced and his disciples are there. And in fact, Matthew called this woman a Canaanite woman. All right? Gentile by culture and birth, this woman begged Jesus to exorcise the demon from her daughter. Now, the plan of God the Father was then for Jesus to minister to his Hebrew disciples in private, even to the point of their leaving needy Hebrew crowds. I think it's fascinating. Jesus had been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He'd been sent to the crowds of Israel. But in this situation, it was so important that he get aside from his disciples out of his extremely important earthly ministry that he left the crowds that he'd been called to reach. He left the crowds to minister just to his disciples. This is a very focused ministry. And these men are going to be the apostles heading up the church and so forth, so he has to disciple them. And yet, this has been interrupted. Well, the Father wanted Jesus in his plan to do something else. So Jesus figuratively told this woman that his first priority in being there was to minister to his disciples. Figuratively, that's the children in the saying. Thus, it was not appropriate for him to interrupt his ministry to them to give his services to her, a Gentile, termed literally the little dogs to represent Gentiles, puppies that ate at the feet of the children in a home. Now, if you wanted to use a derogatory term towards a Gentile, you would use the word dog. But Jesus actually used the term little dogs. We would say puppies. And so he's being very kind. He's being very considerate towards this woman. But he's referring to her as nevertheless just a puppy. Now, you don't feed the puppies ahead of the children. The puppies may be puppies in the home, but they're puppies. It's like the little kittens or the little goats or whatever you have in your place. You don't feed them ahead of you. The children in the Slade family get the precedence of getting the food over the animals. There's no question about that. And that's the point that Jesus is making. He's not using a derogatory term. He's trying to clarify the issue of priority. Now, the term for little dogs is not derogatory for Gentiles. It was meant to show how inappropriate it would be for Jesus to minister to this Gentile woman at the cost of teaching his Hebrew disciples at that time. Now, what's interesting, Jesus did this to give this woman an opportunity to exercise real faith. And she did. Notice what she did. Recognizing her place, the woman humbly replied that though it was inappropriate to feed little puppies ahead of children at a dining table, little puppies nevertheless ate of the crumbs of the children that they dropped. So in faith in Jesus, this woman was not trying to interrupt the Father's plan for his ministry to his Hebrew disciples, but merely trying to fit within it as a lowly Gentile to meet her daughter's desperate need. She figured that surely Jesus could take 30 seconds of his time just to cast the demon out, and she'd be gone, and he could spend the rest of the time with his disciples. And she used the illustration of the little children, and it's interesting, when we go to my daughter Connie's and we eat lunch with them, food always ends up on the floor. It's just one of the things that happens when you're working around four-year-olds and two-year-olds. It happens. And of course, if there are animals there, there are some cats, and sometimes they go for that. But it's just one of the things that happens. So it's interesting. Children over the centuries have not changed. Food just gets to the floor. It just goes there somehow. Well, and this woman said, but the little puppies do eat the food. And all I'm doing is approaching this as a little puppy, and I really desperately need some crumbs. I have a daughter who desperately needs a demon exorcised from her. Could you please do that? Well, her exhibition of such a sterling faith in him led Jesus to make a gracious exception to God's calling that he minister to the disciples, then above even other needy Jewish people. Because of her saying, he told her to go her way as the demon had left her daughter. When the woman arrived at her house, she found the demon had indeed gone out of her daughter and that her daughter was laid upon the bed in peace. Now, what's interesting is the only way Mark would have known about this is if this woman had somehow reported back. See, because she lived in Gentile territory. And a lot of Bible scholars believe that these miracles that deal with these people, that when they get information that's this pointed about them, they later became members of the church. So it's entirely possible this woman became a believer with her daughter later, and that's why they knew of this information. But anyway, when she arrived at home, the demon was gone out, and notice fittingly, her daughter was lying on the bed in peace. Very opposite demonic possession. The person is demon-possessed, they're restless, fidgeting, and so forth. The daughter was lying down, resting on the bed peacefully. It's also unusual for a little girl to lie down just peacefully on the bed on her own. Normally she lies down only when she's told to lie down. You know, normally she's up and busy, she's active. But she was lying down. And that's something that the Lord apparently did. So though God's calling for Jesus at the time directed that he withdraw from even needy people in Israel, those to whom Jesus had been sent, that he minister in private to his Hebrew disciples, when a Gentile woman in great need and faith approached him for his help, he made a gracious exception and he ministered to her. So in ministering for our Lord, may we realize that though God's assignment for us may be to perform a specific ministry to a specific party at a specific time in a specific manner, if we face intense human need, coupled with expressed faith in God that calls for us to step beyond or outside that plan, God himself expects us to go outside of his initial assignment for us to minister to that needy, believing party. I've got an illustration to share with you. A number of years ago, in place of the Christmas Eve program that we had, we would have a Christmas Eve program, but we also had what we knew as a Christmas pageant. It's basically there would be a play or a musical that went along with that. And one year, the Christmas pageant morphed out into a unique situation. Danny LaPlante brought some of his sheep, and he might have had a small calf with him too or not, I don't know. But anyway, we had a manger scene out here by the sign. And it was really pretty, attracted a lot of people, but we had sort of a sleet storm at the same time. And it became a hardship for him. So the next year he said, you know, I don't mind using my animals, but he says it's really hard in the weather to bring them out. Could we have the church come to my barn that is indoors? We have the cattle, the sheep there, and we could have the pageant in the barn. Well, we'd always had pageants here in the church. We hadn't used a barn before. But I really, and Dan really wanted to use his animals. That was before they came through with a law that said because of rabies shots and everything, you know, you can't have crowds around animals and whatnot. So I went out on a limb and I said, you know, and I'm going to go with that. At the time, I think, I don't know if he was attending the church on a regular basis or not, but we were trying to reach out to Danny. So I said, yes, next year we'll do that. Well, that created quite a stir because Nepog had never gone to a barn to do this. And there were some reactions to that, but we decided we would go along with that. We went out there, and it was a huge hit. And I think the next year, we even had camels there. And one of the camels went through the particle board. It was quite a mess. But anyway, it was at those particular meetings that we had that the Terwilligers started to attend those meetings, and that's how they came to our church. And then Pam came to know the Lord, I believe, at the time, or I don't think she knew the Lord up at that time. Mike did, but Pam didn't. And then through them, there were many of their family members that came to know the Lord. And I learned from that experience that, yes, that was unusual, and on my own, I wouldn't have chosen to go in that direction, but because of the circumstances, because Danny was basically really wanted to use his animals, use them for the Lord, I thought, I've got to go with this. And we did, and I'm really, really am glad that we did. We were there just for a couple years, and then there was a new law that came out that said you can't have the public in general come to an animal farm like that unless all the animals, all the cattle and everything have been vaccinated for rabies. Well, that would cost Danny hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And so he says, I'm sorry, we can't do that anymore. So we came back and started having our programs back at the church. So I think we did that just a couple of years. It might have been 3 years maximum. It was very short. But we learn from that even though God may call us generally to be in a specific area, sometimes because of special human need, sometimes because of special faith that's been exercised, God wants us to get out of that zone and go and do something that is unusual. And if we do, He'll bless us.